We're recording.
Okay, with that, I will call to order the July 6, 2020 meeting of the City of Kirkland Design Review Board. We will begin with roll call.
Randall Brandt.
Here.
Brad Brown. Carlos Castaneda.
Here.
Ting Chen.
Here.
Shoshana Cohen.
Here.
Adam Crane.
Here.
Tim Olson.
Here.
Thanks.
Okay, the announcement of the agenda tonight, we have a single item. Again, it's a conceptual design conference, the web building. It is job number, project number DRV20-00335. I do not see, do we have any requests from the audience? Is there actually anyone out there that's in the audience, John or Shay? Do we have anybody?
There is no one in the audience.
Okay. All right. With that, we have no unfinished business. So we can jump directly into conceptual design conference. And I will turn it over to Planner Aofi, and you can take it and go.
Thanks, Tim. I will share my screen here, so just give me a moment. Okay. And if I could just have someone tell me if they can see my screen okay. Thank you. So good evening, everybody. My name is Aoife Blake. I'm a planner at the City of Kirkland. And this is my first time presenting to you guys this evening. So I'm excited to be here and I'm sure it won't be my last. So tonight we're here to discuss the web building. The web building is located downtown in downtown Kirkland, 89 Kirkland Avenue. It's a two-story historic commercial building currently being used as a restaurant on the ground floor, but vacant upper story. The property has street frontage along Kirkland Avenue, which is a minor arterial and also a major pedestrian sidewalk. Surrounding the subject property is all CBD2 zoning. So it all has commercial uses, office uses, and some residential. The allowed height here is 28 feet, but above the midpoint of the right-of-way, except for this property to the west, which is allowed to have 41 feet in height. So the applicant is proposing a major interior remodel of the building with the addition of a roof deck, renovations to the northwest and south facade. The applicant has provided a program description and project information in their design package, and it includes three building massing options also. Just a little note here about process. The project in front of you tonight is here because the project, this building, sorry, is a historic building in the city's comprehensive plan. But the project is also required to get a substantial development permit as it is located in the shoreline management area. And we're also required to do a SEPA review due to the historic nature of the building. Some of the key zoning regulations that relate to this project are the uses allowed in the zone. So restaurant, which is being proposed to be continued on the main floor, is permitted, and office on the upper floor is also a permitted use. And as I mentioned, the height here is 28 feet above the abutting right of way. In the CBD zone, we do allow decorative parapets to extend above that 28 height limit. And also to mention here that the city is currently working on amendments to allow rooftop amenities. So rooftop appurtenances such as stairs and elevator overruns may be able to exceed the zoning height limit if it's accessing a rooftop amenity. And so the applicant is proposing that rooftop with those code amendments in mind. So The code amendment is imminent, I hope. It's definitely in the final stages, and hopefully we'll have some code adopted by the time we get to the design response conference. So tonight the applicant and the board should discuss the physical and built environment on and around the subject property, including things like the height of the building, the rooftop amenities, and the historic context. They should also look at opportunities and constraints of the site and the vicinity, given the streetscape, the urban form, activities and uses in the area, as well as the character of adjacent buildings. The board should discuss the scale of the building and the alterations proposed, and consider what the key vantages are for this project. Is building massing a concern? And if so, the board should identify some appropriate mitigation measures and techniques. The board should also discuss the appropriate scale for new building features, such as windows and doors, and identify any blank walls and how they should be mitigated. As I mentioned, this building is listed on the city's historical building list in the comprehensive plan. The building was built in the 1930s, and this photo is from the property inventory of 1940. The board should discuss what building features should be taken into consideration with the proposal for renovation of the building's facade, and identify any building and deck detailing materials, colors that should be encouraged. The board should also discuss the location of structures and how they relate to and respond to the pedestrian environment. What are the opportunities for pedestrian-oriented space at the street level, and how does the project engage with pedestrians? And lastly, the board should also talk about signage for the project and how that could be integrated to the building design. So given all that, this evening we're asking the board to provide guidance to the applicant on their proposal and determine what information application materials are needed for the design response conference. And so with that, I can take any questions that the board has for me before we move on to the applicant's presentation. Okay, I don't see any questions, so I will stop sharing my screen.
Okay, applicant can go ahead and take it. Rick, is that gonna be you starting off?
That is me.
Okay, it's yours.
Okay, I'm Rick Chesmore with Chesmore Buck Architecture, and also presenting this evening is Eric DeGroot, the project architect. And we're pleased to present the conceptual ideas for the web building. I'll share, we put together just a few brief slides, and we'll not spend a lot of time on those, but we'll bring those up here. Does everybody see the screen? Okay. So we thought, to start off, we'd show some historical photos. Obviously, this building being built in 1930, and this particular image, this aerial photograph, shows what was essentially downtown Kirkland in the early 30s. And of course, the ferry dock leading to Seattle. A couple other photographs to give context. Here's a view looking down Kirkland Avenue towards the Seattle Ferry. And if you notice, off to the left here, there's a wood frame building, Pastime Cafe, which was their pre-web building. And also, if you, I'm gonna minimize my, also if you look to the right, you'll see that same Pastime Cafe. It's a one-story wood frame building. Not sure, the water line was quite a ways landward at that time, so not sure what was on the bottom level. And then, of course, there was the Kirkland Mercantile Building, which is a wood frame building as well, which today is the, if you look at this slide, is the Williams Building with its canopy. And then, of course, the Webb Building is here. And then, of course, looking left here, you see that the Pastime Cafe actually moved back into the main floor of the building after it was constructed. And if you look at the right, the bottom right image, you'll see what it looked like back in the day. Essentially, when it was built, it was a concrete walls and slab-on-grade basement with two floor levels above, built with unreinforced masonry, brick veneer, actually hollow clay panels, the main structural wall, and then a brick veneer on the Kirkland Avenue side, and then the same hollow clay block was used for the two levels above. The site plan showing context, obviously the Marina Park, Kirkland Way, Kirkland Avenue, and then Lake Street. You can see the Williams Building and the Webb Building, which were either built at the same time or one occurred right after the other one, because the construction techniques are very similar. They share a property line, and also what we've been able to determine, we're doing some selective demo on the building. There's a concrete wall on the Webb side of the building in the basement, and there's a concrete wall on the Williams side of the building in the basement. So they were built separately in their structural walls, but they do share a property line running right down the middle. The north facade is right on the property line. Again, the west facade right on the property line. And as the survey shows, we're 3 feet off with the building footprint off the south property line. And then there's a 10-foot wide, what's considered in the survey as an alley access easement. And that's essentially a service alley to all three buildings. If you, this apartment complex to the south, there's an exit that leads out into right away. But for the Williams and the Webb Building, it's essentially a service access. And you'll notice there's a vehicular access as well. It's a, the survey shows a 40-foot wide vehicular ingress and egress easement. And we've got about a 10-foot gap from the west facade to this sloped driveway, which leads to the Mariner parking lot. So as you see the facade as it is today, just reading through quickly a brief project description. Our intent is to bring the building up to date with the current international building code, including a complete seismic, a structural seismic retrofit, new interior stairways and an elevator, a fire sprinkler system, and to meet all ADA requirements, essentially bring the building up to the current code. In addition, we are planning to upgrade all mechanical, electrical, and plumbing systems throughout the building, and all existing and new door and window fenestrations will be installed to meet the current Washington State Energy Code. And all the work to the building will occur within the existing footprint, except for perhaps a proposed deck along the western facade. The owner is currently talking to the Mariner board about that, so they're in discussions right now. So as you can see, this was essentially looks like what it did back in 1930, and they even got the plaque above the central door. This arched entryway in the beginning was actually an access to the building to a small lobby, and then there was a stairway that led up to apartments on the second level. That stairway had been taken down quite some time ago, and actually this upper floor has been vacant for over 30 years. We're not sure when the last tenant was there, apartment tenant. And so there's not really any access to the second level right now. There used to be one on the south facade, but it was taken down some time as well. There is patio seating, which we plan to maintain for the restaurant use. And as we get into the plan, I'll talk a little bit more about some of the changes we'd like to make functionally and aesthetically. Of course, looking down Kirkland Avenue to the north is a series of one-story retail businesses. And then looking straight east, Kirkland Avenue, as you see the context and the scale of the buildings. This is a view taken from the Mariner parking lot, looking back at the west facade of the Webb building, and then this is an existing apartment complex. And I'm not sure when this was painted this color, but essentially it used to look like, you know, the concrete base and then the block above it. The block is actually not in very good shape. It's got a series of conduits and holes and cracks running through it. The concrete walls for the basement are actually in very good shape. And then you can see the south elevation, which right now has a series of ducts. The kitchen was on the south side on the main level. And there are ducts and hoods leading to the roof. Our intent is to remove those and place all of the ducts, hoods, and mechanical equipment on the roof. And here's a couple of views from the rooftop, looking almost due west. As you can see, the Seattle skyline in the distance, the Mariner roof here, and the parking lot below. And of course, Marina Park off to the north by northwest. Hopefully you all receive this and you're able to read through it. I'm going to actually go right to the plans and to the concepts. I should mention too, the building is not large. It's 2,500 square feet per plate. It's roughly like 46 feet wide by 76 in the longest dimension. And so square footage is a premium, particularly, you know, as we're looking at some of the TI functions. What we're proposing to do on the lower floor plan, which would be support space for the main floor restaurant, would be, of course, a new stairway leading down to public restrooms, which would be in the lower level here, a new elevator serving all three levels, and then a new electrical room and fire riser room required by the city of Kirkland, and then a elevator riser room here. And then, of course, this would be support space like coolers and dry storage and scullery, etc. This is a new entry, landing, and ramp leading from the west kind of parking area, delivery area, leading down to these support spaces. Main floor would, of course, be the restaurant slash bar. And then we're going to have a new entrance on the northeast corner that leads to a stairway up to the upper level, which we're proposing to be office space. And then adjacent to that is an entry door leading to the restaurant. And on the northwest corner is a separate exit. So we require two exits out of the restaurant, which separated by a third of the distance of the space because it's an assembly space restaurant. We need to recess these exit doors. They can't actually go over the property line, so they have to be set back like they are. We are planning to replace the windows and open up the facade and, of course, encourage sidewalk seating for the restaurant. And as part of that, too, we'd like to create more windows looking west. There is a good view out towards Lake Washington and Marina Park, particularly from the front half of the space. And of course, here's the elevator. The south wall, we're not planning on any openings, at least on the main floor. The lower floor, just the two doorways. Again, we're 3 feet off the property line. And there's not a lot of view potential on that side. And we'll probably be putting the kitchen back in this area as well. The upper floor, which we're happily bringing back to life, is we're bringing a stairway up to the upper floor and then, of course, the elevator. The facade in the north is staying the same. We will be replacing the windows in context with the building, as well, again, as we'd like to open up the west elevation to the view. South elevation will be no fenestrations. And then, of course, the rooftop, the stair and elevator leading to seating space, a railing that's 5 feet back from the edge, which is part of the rooftop review right now by the city, and our mechanical area with mechanical screening. This is a computer model that we developed, a basic massing model for the CDC conference, and obviously we would come back with more refined designs the next meeting. The north elevation, of course, as it is today, northwest perspective showing the north and west elevations. And then as you drop down the parking lot, kind of showing the alley that I mentioned. And then getting into more of the zoning massing, which, as Afa mentioned, is the height limit shown by the yellow is 28 feet, the midpoint, the right of way. And then we have a 4 foot appurtenance, maximum appurtenance height for screening and et cetera. And then we have a, the orange color is actually rooftop appurtenances, which is allowed 1.5 times the height of the second story. In this case, this story here, it's about 10 feet. So really you can go about 15 feet total, which we're not doing anywhere close to that. Our option one massing, proposed massing, we're rebuilding obviously the west facade to provide more window openings toward lake views. We're building a new west deck in this proposed option. Again, that's under discussion for egress and also additional restaurant patio seating, addressing the shoreline and the waterfront. Opening up the north facade, provide new storefront pedestrian weather protection canopy. And with our new entryways and so forth, we're actually going to be changing a little bit of the sidewalk too to make sure that it's ADA accessible, which right now is challenging. Maintain existing temporary sidewalk cafe seating, as you see here, and provide the stair and elevator access to the new rooftop. So the slope portion is actually the stair coming up from below, from the second level. And then this area right here is the elevator penthouse. And then back here, this rectangle is the screening for the mechanical equipment. Second option was, and they're again discussing this, is that everything like the first option, except we would put a second story deck for the office component, looking out toward toward the shoreline as well. And the third option, of course, is without decks, because again, we're right on the property line, so we would need an approval agreement with the Mariner for the decks. And then everything else is the same as option one. And so I think that's basically our presentation for the building components. Eric, did you have anything to add?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Okay. Board members, any questions directly to the applicant on specifics? No opinions or deliberation yet, just any questions on anything? And again, just raise your hand if you're Adam, go ahead, and we'll go to Randall.
Sure, I had two questions. How deep were you looking at doing the balconies or the decks on the side there? I'm not sure I saw a dimension on the plans. Sorry if I missed it.
Eric, do you remember what, was it 8 feet?
Eight to 8.5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that'd be a fair bit more than the awnings that currently sit there, right?
Correct.
Okay. And I guess one more question. Is there a second egress that would be required from a shared roof deck on this? Or would the one stair comply with that?
The one stair would be fine. We're 49 people or less.
Okay.
We'd have one exit.
All right, that's all I had, thanks.
Randall?
Okay, question. As far as the concept and the decks going to the west, is there anything required by the city? You're looking at some form of an easement with the property, the Mariner property next to it. Is there anything required of design review and that for that when you're hanging out over somebody else's property? Just curious.
Is that a question for me?
Anyone or?
We obviously would need to get some sort of easement written into the, you know, the language of the property. So, and also we did talk to the city as well about, because the west facade is on the property line. There's actually, so technically you can't have any openings at all.
Right.
But there's a 40-foot ingress egress easement that probably will never be removed. You know, it would be very difficult, I think, to build something in that area. So we've agreed that if there was a building built, it either had to be built 10 feet away from our building, or we would have to actually enclose all the fenestrations on the west side, the buildings built to it.
Okay. In the packet we got, as far as the description, you note that on the west and the south wall, south elevations of the building, that you'd be doing some form of a steel with X-bracing upgrade for seismic and that. But then you were pulling down the existing tile product and putting more of a wood frame in there. Right. What, as far as holding true to the historical significance of the building or the historical aspect of it, what are some of just the concepts as far as the finish material on that, if you've gone that far yet?
Well, we've started to look at that. It's probably going to be what we looked at doing is maybe like a deeper fenestration, so we'd have, you know, more three dimension into the building, but also some sort of rain screen, probably horizontal pattern that would look similar to what is there now. If you look at that building, it's not in very good shape, that block, and it's really hard to replace.
Right.
And if we go in and start cutting into it, and the other thing is that block is incredibly heavy. And so the amount of weight it puts on that foundation, as we've been doing some study, is challenging. So taking some of that weight off that foundation would be helpful as well. So what we looked at doing is some sort of horizontal pattern and probably a warmer color. The brick veneer that's on the north elevation, we probably have something that color, or maybe even a slight bit darker.
Okay, it's just really more curiosity as to what we'll pick that up at later steps here, but it's, but just looking at that, you're still saying that you would like to just remove that tile and put a new facade on the building.
We would, because it's extremely difficult to work with. I don't know, even if we left the facade exactly what it is, we've got some areas to repair, and I'm not sure how easy that is.
Yeah, and you're probably right on lot lines. So putting anything on, it's going to hang over the lot lines.
Right.
Got it. Rooftop amenities, again, that is a code amendment that's coming down the pike that would be allowing that, I assume. It's not allowed at this point in time?
Correct.
Okay. And I assume that it's probably public works and engineering, but the front sidewalk improvements in that, I mean, I guess question to the design review board is as to what aspect of that, because there's multiple different types of concrete and asphalt out there right now as far as the sidewalk, and I would assume that would be upgraded or improved with this project.
Well, it certainly would, and if you if you spend any time out in front of this building, there's been a fair amount of settlement, and there's some large trees, and the roots are pushing up. You know, the sidewalks have been ground down, and so I think the intent is to upgrade that whole public walkway experience and also the patio seating.
Okay. I think that's my comments or questions at this time. Thank you. Thank
you. Eric, you had your hand up, something about the tile or?
Yeah, I was just gonna say another reason for removing the tile was with the larger openings we're gonna be installing, it's practically impossible to shore up that tile and enlarge the openings and then re-brace it and keep it in place. So to get rid of it and make the new openings and with a new construction.
Okay, other questions, anybody?
It's me. So I have two questions for the applicant. The first one is, what is the criteria used for the proposed fenestrations? Are you designing the building to align with the adjacent that is existing? The second question is, it is my understanding that there's a certain square footage of fenestration allowed. Do you have some preliminary numbers on what's that square footage?
On the west elevation?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware that there was any. Is there a maximum fenestration allowed?
I guess that this is for the staff. Do you know if there's a square footage allowed for fenestration or required for maximum?
I'm not aware of any building code like maximums or, but I don't think there are any limitations in the design guidelines, if that's what you're asking.
So basically, the applicant can design or propose any fenestrations to the existing building structure?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll have to defer to the building code and Rick on that question, but as far as design guidelines go, it's more of a scale issue, I think.
Right. Oh,
okay.
Scale and detailing. Maybe I can answer. You might be thinking about if we had a property line that was, say, 5 feet off the building, or let's say it's 3 feet off the building, you can open the wall up 25% of the area. If it's 5 feet off the building, it's 45%. And if it's 10 feet, I believe it's, you can help me on this, Eric, is it 60%, I think, or 50%, 10 feet?
10 feet, you're 75% open.
75%, yeah. So there's and that's that 40-foot easement I was talking about. We're going to recognize that as kind of a no-build zone for now. Seems like that's not very feasible for a building to be built in that area, at least today.
And that's the technical code requirement. Otherwise, we don't believe there's any design guidelines that specify a maximum amount. It's more of a scale issue with how the facade looks.
Thank you.
Shoshana or Ting, any questions? Go ahead.
Yeah, so I have a question. Maybe I did not quite understand, but I see a difference in the north facade elevation as you sketch it on the massing and the way it looks on the main floor plan, where you have a three different entrances that are recessed, whereas in the massing is just one big entrance.
Right.
And I also saw that you took the decision maybe not to keep those arches that exist in the building today. And I want to know if this is not part of the historical, you know, kind of theme or character of the house, and why did you decide to not keep them?
Well, I think initially we were looking at, you know, creating more openings on that main floor level, and particularly when we have three exits. And you're right, the massing model doesn't show those three exits pushed back from the main line. I think we'll have more refinement when we come back from the next meeting. And essentially it was, those were the only kind of arches, particularly if they're the entry door that's in that used to be in the middle of the building hasn't been used for a long time. As a matter of fact, there's a window in there now. And our thought was with the awning, with adding an awning, which is suggested and recommended by the Kirkland Zoning Code, that we had an opportunity to open that up with more glass area and then support the upper floor brick, because we're having to actually go on the inside of the wall and support the unreinforced masonry up above with a large beam. So it's an attempt to open more of the main floor facade up to the outdoor seating area and to the public way.
Mm-hmm. But wouldn't you say that you can keep it give a hint to that with the rest of the building fenestration if you need to make that large area opening? Because I feel it kind of makes it different, kind of gives it its whole character, especially with the framing, with the bricks. And after that, it would just be another cube. I don't know if this is an opinion already, but I'm just asking.
Maybe we'll get into that soon enough.
Okay. Let's move forward.
Ting, go ahead.
I have a couple questions. I think I will just ask one by one. First, thank you, Rick, for sharing the historic photos of Kirkland. It's really interesting to see the old Kirkland.
Yeah.
So my first question is, the brick veneer on the north facade, is that the original on the building?
Pardon me? So can you say that again? Sorry.
The brick veneer on the north elevation.
Yes.
Is that the original part of the building?
It is. It's it too needs a little work. You know, it hasn't been maintained. The building hasn't been maintained very well, but it is the original brick.
So then the west and the south side, those are hollow tiles, right?
Yes,
they are different.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So my second question is about also on the north side, the entry doors. You mentioned that they need to be recessed because they were close to the property line.
Right.
Can you speak more about that? Because it is because the door has to open, swing out.
Yeah, because of the occupancy in the building, we're required for the buildings to swing out in the direction of egress. And so, therefore, that's the reason for recessing those doors.
I see. So then my third question is about elevators. Is that required per code? Or
It's actually for ADA access to the lower level, if we put the restrooms in the lower level, we would need elevator access unless we put restrooms on the main floor. It's not technically required for the office space above because of the size of the office space, the 2,500 square feet. But again, we're trying to bring this building kind of up to current day use. And it seems like an elevator is prudent, particularly with the amount of work that we're doing to the building.
So the elevator will be shared by the office users and restaurants?
They will, yeah.
My third question, I have a question. So on site, also on the north side, there's a blue street light and also a fire hydrant. Will those be removed?
I think those are required to stay where they are. And those are, that street light is, per the recommended street light by the city of Kirkland.
They're gonna stay.
I kind of wish we could put a street light like it was back in 1930, if you saw in the picture. It was a pretty interesting street light, but that might be a fight we might lose, so.
Anything else?
My other question.
Go ahead.
The other question is about the awning. The original photo showed there was no awnings on the building, right?
Right. There was no awning.
I know that's required by design guidelines. I'm just wondering if is that a mandatory, or is it possible if you don't want to install the awnings, if you can ask for a departure?
Well, maybe John and Afa can respond to that.
So the zoning code does require awnings over the over the entrance and along the walkways. So it is a zoning code requirement. From what I recall, I don't think it's explicitly called out in the modification sections for the design review board. So we can look at that and just see if there is a potential there for modification, but just off the top of my head, I don't think there is, but we can double check.
Thank you. Those are my questions. Thanks.
Sorry. That was another one of our questions, was what scope of work would require the street canopies versus just doing modifications to a building? If there's a threshold that you reach that they become required. Because if you built a brand new building, they'd be required. Yes. But in a remodel, we're unsure if you're putting in new storefronts, does that become a requirement? Or if you rebuild the whole front of the building, does that become a requirement?
Yeah, I think there's a nexus there, Eric. If you're remodeling a facade, we do look at all the elements of the facade as part of the remodel. So I think we can get it that way. And I guess, you know, if it is a nonconformist, we can always look to the nonconforming section of the zoning code and just confirm that it triggers it. But I think the scope of your work that's being done, for example, if this even went through an administrative review, I think we'd still have the authority to get an awnings.
That's good. I'll just read real quick because I put it down here, actually, Kirkland Zoning Code. Suggested pedestrian-oriented improvements for new developments, which includes the desire for the facade to have the following, and one of them is a canopy of awning providing weather protection at least 5 feet wide along at least 75% of the facade.
Okay, any other questions? I've got just two questions, but if anybody else has any. My questions, so the rooftop deck, is that, I assume that's not for restaurant use. There will be no restaurant service up there.
The intent of the rooftop use would be for the restaurant use.
It would be. And yes. Office use or?
And office.
Okay. And you said the occupant load up there is 49 max for one exit?
Correct.
Okay. Do we have any idea how much restaurant that could accommodate before you exceed that?
Well, basically one of the reasons for the elevator, the rooftop, not only for access, but it would be a service elevator, taking, you know, food and drink up to the rooftop.
Okay. Okay, and my second question is kind of as much to staff as well. So currently the quote temporary sidewalk use for outdoor seating is seems like it's been there for almost forever, at least that I can remember. There's always been. So how temporary is temporary, and does it, at what point does it sort of become permanent? And given the fact that there is no parking on that side of the street, the angled parking picks up as you get further east. So it looks like that will always stay a super wide sidewalk. When does the temporary seating become always there? John or?
So we do allow, outdoor sidewalk cafes, and those are permitted yearly. So they do, an applicant would have to apply for this every year. And as you know, like every year, you'll see the usual outdoor cafes. That gets reviewed by planning staff and public works per There's some dimensional standards for clearance, et cetera. And then I believe they would be used, what, about half the year. So in terms of permanence, right, you're gonna see it off and on throughout, you know, every year. But yeah, it seems like in the downtown especially, there's been your typical, you know, restaurants that have these on a yearly basis.
Right, and they typically are always granted. There's never been situations where they're declined.
Right.
Okay.
And unless there's some gross violation.
Yeah. I see, okay. I was kind of leading into the question of currently, it looks like to the poles that support the lights are some nice tall 4x4s. And are those removed or are they permanent effectively there even in the middle of winter, or what happens to them?
It's a good question. I don't know if we even reviewed those.
Okay.
They may have just been installed.
Okay. Okay, that's the only questions I have. Anybody else? Any other board members, a follow-up of any kind? Hearing none, I think then we would, at this point, if there are any members of the public, and I don't think we have any, let's see, that's 13 participants, and I think we're all here. So, am I correct? There is nobody out there in the public?
Yeah, it shows a zero.
Zero, okay. Then let's go ahead and jump right into our deliberation. I think probably first thing we might just look at is just their option 1, 2, and 3. And people can just chime in, and anybody wants to volunteer and jump in, and let's just start at that massing level and just discuss it there. And then we can get into more detail a bit further.
Do you want me to share that?
Sure, that's fine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you can go ahead and show your preferred one, and then we can. And Randall, I see a hand up. Fire away.
I guess as we look at preferred options and that, we're, you know, option number one is the preferred with a deck on the west side at that second level, or the level that works with the restaurant. Now, if you're unable to execute some form of a easement with the apartment complex or condos next door, then you really are back to default to option 3, correct?
That's correct. Again, we're on the property line with the west
right. Elevation. So I guess I'm just pointing out that we may say, yeah, option, I'm just saying theoretically for the group that, yeah, massing on option 1 is our preferred one, but if you can't get the easement set aside and that type of thing, then we're defaulted to option 3, just so everybody recognizes that.
Obviously, this one is a little different at the CDC level because we don't have, you know, 3 major different options. Again, it's unusual in that respect. To the applicant, do we have any idea when we know what the result of the negotiations with the adjacent condo units are?
Well, we were hoping to know by this evening, but have not heard yet. I know, like I said, they've been talking about it for a couple of weeks. Obviously, our intent is to, when we come back the next meeting, we would obviously know that and probably be in, if it is allowed, we'd probably be in process for getting some sort of easement agreement developed.
Okay. Anybody else on any major sort of massing and form, or do we want to just dive into it? Let's assume it's either 1 or 3. Do I hear any sort of, oh, 2 is way better than either 1 or 3?
I'll pan through the, so that 1, 2 is the only difference would be the second floor deck as well for the office use. Mm-hmm. And then of course, third option. Yeah, we've come to these CDC meetings as well with quite different options, but we're somewhat limited on this building. So
your hands are tied. Yeah. I guess one question is option 2.5. Is there ever a way that the condo people would say, no, you can't do the deck on the restaurant level, level one, I'll call it, not the basement level, but level one, but you could do it on the office level and have a balcony up that high? Is that even a consideration?
Well, I you know, certainly anything is up for discussion, but I would suspect that if they were not interested in the main floor deck, I would seriously doubt they would allow an upper floor deck. But again, we're not party to that discussion right now. So that's an interesting idea.
And another question kind of for staff too. So the condos are 41 foot height limit, and obviously they're a little bit lower probably with their ABE, but will they have the chance to do a rooftop decks and everything there if the ordinance passes?
Yeah, I believe there is opportunity for multifamily developments also to do rooftop amenities.
And they theoretically have enough of the...
Their height limit is 41 feet above the midpoint of the right-of-way. And what are they, three-story right now? They're three-story? They might. They wouldn't be, I don't think they would be subject to the zoning maximum for their rooftop appurtenances. That's kind of additional height that's been allowed. Okay. So it could be possible.
Okay. I guess I'm wondering, what will their objections be to, you know, not letting the easement be used? Probably noise from outdoor dining, although there certainly is a little bit of noise in general in just that area. I mean, it's a pretty busy place, correct?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So let's go into more. It's kind of jumping ahead a little bit, almost into more detailed analysis. But I know there probably are some board members who have plenty of comments on what they're seeing on the west side, certainly the north side. So anybody want to jump in with that, Adam?
Yeah, sure. I was hoping to see, I realize we're very early on in the process, but I was hoping to see kind of a section through the building and the street showing maybe sight lines from across the street and how the views might be looking at that penthouse access structure. I do see some of the views in the SketchUp model obscure that. Do you have an idea if that's going to be visible partially a little bit?
We don't think so from Kirkland Avenue. It's because it's with that angled portion. If it is, it would, because the street is not the actual street and the sidewalks are not that wide. And so our attempt was to push that back and put the elevator closer to the south portion, sure. south middle. But that was a concern of ours.
Definitely concerned, you know, trying to hide it, but, you know, I'd asked some of the opinions of the other board members, maybe as making something intentionally slightly visible up there. You know, I could see if a restaurant's trying to promote the fact that it's got a roof deck with a view, maybe a bar space up there, it might be an attractive feature to have that noticeable from the street to draw people up rather than mm-hmm. completely hidden. Anyone else have some opinions on that?
Adam, I thought the exact same thing. Instead of, because that sloping roof is going to be a roofing material that's not like any other typical roof, but instead making it more of a, a squared off or a feature that does pick up perhaps some of the, you know, aspects of the 1930-ish pieces of it. You know, we're kind of creating history where it has never existed in Kirkland. So how do we do that? But I think the making a penthouse that actually is a piece of structure up there makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing something maybe a little more vertical, something that's, it's an opportunity for a design element up there that is attractive from the street.
Yeah, Well, we like to hear you think it that way. I mean, I guess with the historical nature of the building, it was kind of a dichotomy. Do we feature that, or do we try to make it go away and focus on the, you know, more the historical nature?
Mm-hmm. Randall?
As you go around this building and go over onto other streets and that, when you really look at this, that the tallest portion of that particular structure is going to be wherever they set the elevator. And to pull the elevator to the front of the building to try and make it more prominent or that, I mean, you've got to look at the interior of the building as to what is under that structure that's forcing that structure to do what it's doing. And then as you really look at this from around, from really all of the streets around it and intersection and that, about the only people that are going to see this particular structure on top of this is really the apartments and the condos on the east side of Lake Street, and they're going to be up at 3 and 4 stories and above are really the only ones that are going to see this. And so I think, you know, the idea of trying to bring that element into, you know, a prominent element would be rather difficult because of the location of the elevator and how you drive where that elevator goes within the building.
So you're saying calling attention to it is not a good idea?
I don't think you'll be able to get there. Because when you look at this, you look at the elevations or the diagrams that are up right now, and you look at the one in the upper left-hand corner, you're really, you know, the eye level on that is above 6 feet. It's about 10 feet. And so when you drop down into the walking on the sidewalks or the street here, you'll barely see, if anything at all, over the top of that. And so I just, you know, I look at it and I'm going like, the historical character of the building is really just the box that is there now, and driving something up, you know, I would say you want to try and do away with as much of it as possible, make it as minimal as possible, and that, because it's really more of an obstruction for the apartments and everything across Lake Street than anything else.
What about the view from George's, or, you know, further to the east where you do see?
As you walk those areas, you won't be able to see this. You're too far back. It's too flat.
So maybe we'll just wait until we get a detailed model and additional vantages or different, you know, station points to stand and see what we see.
Yeah, it's a good series of comments, and I think those are good suggestions about taking different vantage points with a more finished model, which we'll bring back at the next meeting.
Yeah, we typically at a conceptual design conference don't get into that much detail like this, but again, this is a little different in that respect. So
yeah.
Tim, you had a hand up?
Well, earlier I wanted to say maybe having some landscaping on the rooftop, so that way you can attract people's attention, letting them know there's restaurant use up there, and that might be more soft than a structure up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's an excellent point. We plan on having it fairly well landscaped, the rooftop. Right now we show more, you know, more kind of seating and paver, kind of a paver floor surface that is flat, but we would have planters probably set inside of those seating areas.
Carlos, any thoughts?
Yeah, so I've been going back and forth, just taking a look at the elevations, and in reality, the historical building, the character of this building, at least to me, it's the brick work. I'm just like kind of interested in seeing how the fenestrations are gonna work in regards to the brick and how it is laid. I've seen, I've noticed that there are some soldier courses on top of the main entries, existing main entries, or mm-hmm. at least where like the elevation that is facing north, the mm-hmm. two biggest openings. So I think that that is also something that I'll be interested to look at in the next meeting, just seeing how the applicant can effectively replicate or at least keep this language and just apply it to the modifications that they are proposing. On another note, I noticed that the north elevation has a cornice and it is actually stopping at the edge of the building facing west. So this is kind of like a question for the applicant if they are thinking of just continuing that type of like molding at the parapet edge, or if the intent is just to use metal flashing, or what kind of like solution. I know that this is going like into a lot of detail, but these are some kind of like elements that can bring more interest to the building. Since it's a box, basically the details are gonna be very important and critical on kind of like keeping the essence of this current or existing condition that the building has. So Rick, I don't know like if you guys are kind of like identifying these elements, just the brick and the cornice that it's currently there, and trying to use them throughout the project that you guys are proposing.
Certainly on the north side, we're going to pay attention to the vernacular while creating these different entries and storefront. So certainly we're gonna pay attention to that, and probably the cornice that you mentioned as well. A little bit of that is undetermined until we start coming up with that western elevation facade material use. And you know, unfortunately we'd like to create a bit of three dimension, but it's just extremely difficult when you're right on the property line. So it all comes down to material choice at that point if we're going to be replacing this hollow clay block.
Right. Yeah, I think just I'll be more interested in like taking a look at how the proposed voids at the north facade are going to look like in regards to the whole building, and what kind of character or interest it can add also with having the canopy on top, and just trying to imagine it, or like at least have an idea on how this is going to look, and if that's going to translate or communicate the idea with the adjacent buildings. I mean, the ones that are next to this one are brick. So I'm just like thinking in terms of materials that you guys are going to use brick and keep the same language.
For the west elevation?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've discussed that, and we've discussed some other options too, but certainly that'll be the next meeting.
Okay, that's all that I have.
Shoshana, anything?
Yeah, I want to go back to my arches. So, well, yeah. As we talk about the character of the building, of course, a lot of it is going to show in the material and the way you lay the bricks around the openings, of course. But I still have a sense that if we keep the fenestration the way it is right now, even if we add the deck or we choose massing option one, it still doesn't show much of, you know, playfulness that exists in the building right now, in the structure, the way it is right now. It's not just the material selection, it's not just the layout, but it's also the shape. And I think this is a very central building in the sense that it has a very high traffic and it could attract a lot of attention and be amazing, really, with the right treatment. So I would really like to pay a lot of attention to the playfulness in the building.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, we have definitely noted that.
Okay.
I think that's a good comment.
This is my main, yeah, just like keeping the materials and the colors and everything that it has. I think it's one of the more special buildings in that area. And I would like to see it even better.
Good. So would we.
Rick, I assume that the north facade brick, you can come close enough with new brick that will match somewhat color, and or are you going to try and salvage anything that has to get reused, or how are we going to approach that?
With the modifications to the north facade?
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to try to, we're obviously going to try to match. We do have a contractor involved, and we're, whatever work we do on the north facade, and we do have to do a bit of patching too. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to match the brick as close as possible.
Okay. And I'm looking at the photograph of that north facade. It's, I don't know which page it is, but
here, I'll slide it up here.
Okay. That one. Okay. So are the two, and I'll use Shoshana's arches. Those appear to be different overall widths, or the openings that define them. And then is the center entry arch that's no longer there, and the two windows above that, are they very symmetric and axial underneath the arch on top with the platform?
Yeah, you take the center line here, and it's pretty symmetrical on the top level. You know, this section's a bit wider. You can tell this is wider than, of course, this section.
Yeah.
But it is on axis with the center portion of the building.
Okay. So the upper windows kind of were centered over each of the openings below.
Right.
And the east side is, okay. So your scheme that changes that appeared, and I realize, again, this is conceptual level, but it looks like we will lose some of the symmetry of the windows on the bottom, or those H columns, the white flanges. I assume they're, well, one of them has to be visible because it's out in the entryway, but do we recreate some symmetry or some axiality with what's happening down below?
Most certainly. We obviously haven't shown any modulation in this elevation below that we're modifying, but certainly this is a major feature. Mm-hmm. So we would play off of that, obviously. And you know, the comment about the arches, what we were proposing is, of course, you know, using the same line here, mm-hmm. because we've got this awning that's a pretty strong element and it's 5 feet deep. Opening up a transom window that's much wider here. And since this is really no longer being used, the thought is we would like to open this up even more to the outdoor seating. So that's really the main reason for taking the center portion away from the scope.
Okay. One of the reactions I had to looking at the preferred scheme, the option one, again, looking at that northwest perspective, if you can flip back to that just real briefly. And some of it is, I understand the desire, certainly from a restaurateur's point of view and an office point of view, that they want to just maximize the glazing on that west side for the view of the lake and the Olympics and all of that. But I'm a little troubled by what I'm seeing in terms of really long strip windows that don't sort of match what's on the north. Not that they have to, but I think it's going to come down to figuring out exactly the right balance to, so that they don't look like, you know, two sides of totally completely different buildings. Right. I think Carlos might have mentioned something about it looks like the, and again, this is very conceptual, but the head height on those west windows, the you know, upper floor, it's the new west windows are higher, the, you know, the lower floor, they're not there. So I don't know exactly how we sort of let this building turn the corner. And if we're not going to do it with materials, certainly it's going to be dominated by the glazing and the fenestration. Mm-hmm. So I want to kind of get other board members' thoughts on that, as well as if I'm reading too much into this conceptual drawing.
Mr. Randall, I don't think you're at all reading anything more into it than the conceptual. I think, you know, coming around that corner and going down that west side and tying these two sides together through lines of, whether it's, you know, you take the north elevation, you've really got three soldier courses going across there, the brick that, you know, maybe some sort of horizontal line that returns on that west side. And then again, the window elevations, the sill and the head of each of the windows may line up or something of that sort. But you also have an opportunity that, you know, when you've got a pattern on the north side of windows that, you know, may or may not be repeated in the where you've opened up the north side and taken out the arched aspects of that, but do those arched aspects from a historical perspective get back placed back into it in the, you know, in whatever the mullion design and that type of thing of the window wall that goes across there, and then kind of the same thing on the west side. I think there's opportunity to do some interesting things like that. And that, because I mean, this is just a concept, you know, block concept that says this is what we're trying to do, but the opportunity for the window mullion, the window mullion, the way it's split and that to fit with the historic design of it.
Okay. And I did a little bit off topic, but I would comment that people are using the term arches. I don't see these as arches at all. There's no way that they could even be considered structural arches. They're basically, you set your fillet at, you know, whatever radius, and you just, instead of chamfering it, you know, those corners became rounded. They're not arches though. There's a lintel there supporting that brick veneer, or it's tied back to the clay tile behind it that's gonna go away. So that, you know, they're not arches in any stretch of the imagination. It's some different brickwork, which is interesting. But I think, you know, what's going to make it successful is just an attention to detail with the new brickwork where it has to be replaced and, you know, reused or whatever, fine enough scale that's going to make or break the thing, not the fact that we preserve these little rounded corners on those existing openings. That's just my personal thought.
So I will call it rounded corners.
No, you can, the arches is, I mean, it is, it's, it looks like an arch, but it is, it's rounded corners, which.
Yes, but it also exists on the rooftop and on the entry door. It gives you the feeling of an arch, okay. Although it's a rounded corner.
Okay.
Well, I would say that, yeah, you can call them arches because of the way they corbel in and that, but that parapet is very strong. when you've got the parapet plus the sign, the Wilbur Building, running the same rounded top on it, which most people would call an arch, you know, then you come down and they pick that up in the corners of the rounding of the larger openings, and then the door at the very central aspect of this with a rounded top on it. Now, when you look at that from a historic perspective and the vernacular design of this, you know, that's part of that design. And that's where I feel that when you look at the elevations where everything becomes squared off right now, and it's just a block diagram now, it's just really going back and looking at it and saying, okay, is there a way with the glazing element that you're trying to open up with, can you get part of that, you know, part of that same vernacular back into it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and unfortunately, these CDC diagrams and exhibits are pretty basic.
Yeah,
and we've started to do some study, and obviously we will bring something much more detailed to the next meeting. And we're sensitive. You know, we're sensitive to the vernacular of the building. We're trying to obviously open the building up a little bit for the owner's interest, but we're also, we also are very sensitive to the historical nature of the building.
Okay. Anything else? Any of the board members, any other thoughts or concerns?
Tim, I just have one last comment. I was looking at the main floor plan, and the applicant is proposing two entries, one on the east and the other one in the west corner of the north portion of the building. Mm-hmm. It is my understanding, and Rick, can you go to the north elevation, well, the north view, the photo of the existing building?
Oh, the existing building, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So on the right portion, yeah, where you have the hand right now,
yeah,
seems that there's a difference with the level of the street and the level of the interior space. So I was wondering, and I didn't see this in the presentation, if there's some treatment with some stairs or some kind of work that you're going to be doing there. And if so, is that gonna also impact the current patio and the type of material that is there? And I'm just kind of like bringing up these questions as if for the next meeting, we're gonna take a look at that, and maybe that should be also be considered.
Right. Well, one of the reasons, of course, for a couple of reasons for the West Deck, we would like to move that exit to there, and that way you come out, so we would not have to do that there at that corner if the deck is not, and there's a couple reasons why. First, for the seating, also for the operation of the restaurant, having an exit here out to a deck in the patio is nice, you know, from a operational standpoint. And also from an exiting standpoint, these exits are further away, and we don't have so many doors along the north facade. That way we can treat this a little differently. But if the deck is not allowed, then we would obviously need a landing and probably, you know, some stairs or something here for access. And probably there's going to be a landing here, and then we would have to create some steps down.
Right. And also, I'm curious about just trying to understand how the interior elevator is going to work. It seems that it's stopping at the office level, but do the office needs to connect with the restaurant space? And if so, are the users of the office will need to go get down to the restaurant and walk through all the restaurant in order to exit the building? Or I'm just trying to like have an idea on how it is going to be working.
Well, Yeah, so this was a program requirement of the functionality when we start working on the building. And currently you obviously enter the building, you have to come through, there will be a hallway leading to the elevator, and then the entrance to the restaurant will be right in this area. So this will be more of a general kind of walkway entryway, both for the stairs down and the elevator up to the office use. We've actually worked on some office space like this before, and the elevator is nice to have, but it's very rarely used by the office component. Mm-hmm. But obviously it helps with the ADA aspect for access to that upper level.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Rick, I have a question. It was never brought up. What's our floor-to-floor height from the main floor up to the office?
Main floor to the office, office ceiling. We're actually, and that's one thing I didn't mention, we're reframing the roof. It's in pretty bad shape. So we're having to take the roof off and reframe it. And we had a bit higher ceiling height. Eric, can you recall, is it 9 feet?
Well, the first floor to the upper floor is 13 feet four.
Right.
And then we're 11 and a half feet from the upper floor to the roof deck.
To the roof deck, yeah. I think we're about, what, nine and a half feet to the bottom?
Yeah, I think it's 9 feet to the bottom of the joists.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm looking at the plans, and it looks like we have basically just two columns down the middle of the space all the way from the basement.
Right. Interestingly enough, this building, and probably all the buildings along here, because of where the lake line was at one point in time, what we've been told is that this building was built with almost a large grade beam with wood pilings. And so we're trying to redistribute, when you put a rooftop deck with added weight, we're trying to redistribute the loads where they are today. So thus, those are the existing columns that are in the building today.
And are they just tube steel or something, or are they?
Yeah, our intent is they'll be tube steel.
Okay. Just was curious.
I
had been counting risers trying to figure out what the floor to floors were, but I didn't, obviously we don't have sections yet, so. All right, board, anything else? Anybody have any comments or questions?
I have one. I know we talk about the north and west facades. What about the south facade? There is almost no opening. I know it's in the alley, but still a lot of people will walk back there because the building next to it has stairs to connect from the parking lot to the lake, the main street. So without opening on the upper two levels and just two doors, do we consider that as a blank wall? I guess it's more a question for the board members.
I don't think it's considered a blank wall because it does not face a street. John, is that a concern that we have?
Yeah, I think for blank walls being an issue, they have to be facing a street, walk, public walkway, or park. So I would say, yeah, I don't think it'd be that, because I'm just thinking if you go further west on Kirkland Ave, if it would be visible, but I think because of the angle, I don't know that you'd see it back there. So I don't think this would be a blank wall.
I think what's going to end up there is going to be no worse than what's there now.
Well, we can guarantee you that it's going to be better.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, anything Hearing nothing, I guess we probably tell the applicant which option we prefer, or if we agree with their preferred option. I assume, just hearing the comments, that we all think yes, if they could do option one with that main floor restaurant deck, that that is preferred versus three. Is that a fair assumption?
I think I would like to see other fenestration options. The ones that we've been presented today, they are pretty much similar. The only difference is the deck and just in the first floor, the second floor. But pretty much the fenestrations are the same. I just like to look and see if the applicant can come up with something that brings more interest to the options, because in order for me to approve something, it's pretty much the same. The only difference, as I said, it's the deck. I don't know if if the rest of the board has any comments on that, but at least that's what I got.
I totally agree. It's hard to decide just yet if one is better than the other. And can I ask, why is this your preferred option?
Well, for a couple, functionally, it works better in plan, first of all, just with the exit and additional seating. Secondly, we like the option having a deck off the main level, and the upper level is fine, but again, it's a large mass on the building. And I think without the deck, again, it's a fairly blank facade, not a lot of three dimension, and there's not a lot we can do on the west elevation.
Except from being more playful, yes.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and we, unfortunately, at the CDC conference, we can't really show much more. I mean, we could have probably brought three options on that west facade in terms of just the rectangles. But, I mean, my understanding is we're not supposed to bring a lot of detail, but we will, obviously, the next meeting.
Okay.
I think obviously everything, not everything, but a huge portion of it depends on whether the easement is allowed, use of the easement is allowed. And we'll certainly know that by next time, whether it's a second CDC versus an actual design response conference. At this point, John, do we need to, can we just kind of punt it and say, let's wait till next time and see which option or the resolution of the deck issue becomes apparent?
Well, I think at this point, because the applicant's going to need to apply for the design response conference and make that a formal application. And given that there's really no, like you said, typically we have three different building massing options. This is unique in the sense that it's really going to come down, I think, to the details of the building and to a certain extent, whatever happens on the rooftop. So I would recommend that as long as the applicant's clear on the direction, it's almost like you want to already head into the design response conference and be able to get into the details of the project. Because if you think about it, there's really not much that's going to change in terms of the massing of the building, right?
No.
If anything, there'll be a deck or no deck. And then it's really a discussion of the details. So I would recommend just going to the DRC and then kind of just handle it from there.
Okay, I'm fine with that, board. Are we all fine with that approach?
Does that mean that we are going to stick with the current fenestration layout?
Well, to the extent that there's going to be glazing on the west facade, yes, I don't think it'll look like this. This is very conceptual, as the applicant has stated, but I don't think we're going to see anything at the design response, which has no glazing on the west or very limited glazing on the west. I think it's going to be kind of the quantity that we're seeing here, just how it's worked out is going to be, you know, for us to work with and agree with or suggest changes to. Is that, Rick, do you, I mean, I assume that we're gonna see glazing on the west side too.
Yeah, no, and I hear all of your comments loud and clear, and we'll come with certainly more attention to detail and a lot more detail the next meeting.
Okay.
I think your comments are all valid, and it's they're all comments that we have discussed in the office, and I think the you know, the big thing about the CDC conference is kind of getting the initial concept and what we're trying to do, and then we'll come back certainly with a lot more detail that you can review in more detail.
Okay. So for Design Response Conference, if we do it that way, Board, I would say that the things we obviously will focus on would be the just more details, resolution of the options for the rooftop, the penthouse, as Adam and I were discussing and Randall was discussing, options there and seeing it from a variety of different vantages. Obviously the north facade with the opening and the canopy, the awning, anything else that we want them to make sure and cover?
I think that also elevations of the north, west, and south facade, and also showing the context of the adjacent buildings, because that's going to be a main drive for trying to see how it is responding in regards to the existing conditions.
Okay.
At least that's something I would like to see, and also the elevations to have some sort of levels of dimensions for the parapets and also the openings.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Question to the applicant, Rick, is this a, I assume it's either a SketchUp or a Revit model?
SketchUp.
SketchUp. So is it possible to bring a semi-live, you know, SketchUp model that we can use to look at it from a variety of different positions and
Certainly. Yeah.
Okay. Doesn't have to be photorealistic, just at least the massing and
sure.
Enough detail on the north facade that we can get a sense for brick patterns and,
right. And
all that good stuff.
Sounds good.
Okay. I have one question. This is totally off the subject. In the upper right and upper left-hand corners of the north facade are some little look to be terracotta. They're not really gargoyles or what are those? Are they...
good question. I don't know what those are.
I think they're little shield or crests.
Are they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And they're why they're there, because, you know, like I said, the Williams building was built relatively the same time. And it's got, you know, similar patterns, obviously the Rolock, top on the for the masonry headers, but yeah, it's one feature that's a little different. And then when you turn the build, you know, turn the corner, it's just a different looking building from this elevation, the south and the west, in terms of, you know, they stop the brick right at the corner.
Yes, interesting. Okay, so Board, I guess we're okay with just saying we'll see it at the Design Response Conference, which will give us a whole lot more detail in terms of which option we end up with. That makes sense?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else from anybody? Randall, Adam, Ting, anything? Nothing? Okay.
No, nothing more from my side. No, I think we've given Rick a lot of input.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
Okay. Appreciate it. Excellent.
Good.
We've got nothing else. We have no minutes. I passed over those at the start. We've got no minutes yet. So No administrative reports. Anything, John, that you need to pass our way?
Nothing other than we have a couple items for the July 20th DRB meeting. So we'll have the Emerald mixed use. That'll be coming back for their response from the previous meeting. And then we may have tentatively a new mixed use project up in Totem Lake. They just applied, and it's the site's at Slater, and I think it's Northeast 120th, I think. It's over there by the car dealers. And it's a new mixed use. The applicant's the same applicant that did phase two of Village at Totem Lake. So that's a pretty large project. I think I want to say it's around 400 residential units and some ground floor retail. So.
Okay.
So that might be coming on the 20th as well.
Okay. I know I will be here for that. I know we'll get, Jim will call us the week before just to poll us for attendance, but at this point I will be around. Vacations are very fleeting this summer. Not a lot happening, so. Okay, anybody want to suggest an adjournment?
I move that we adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded for adjournment. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? We are adjourned. See everybody next time.
Thank you.
Aye, thank you.